end of war, or maybe the first part here, we can have this scene there with, it should be actually in this first volume. When, well, you see, here she is, Maria or Mia. And she just happens then to be around. I mean, she's smart, IT person. Actually, she's a bit of a prodigy, you know, and respected, although she's a girl, you know, among the guys. That's the way things are still, I think, behind the screen. Chauvinism in the IT hacker community. So anyway, now she finds herself here, and because she's smart, she learns how to play the game, and she then experiences the world seen from that level, right? And she becomes acquainted, I mean personally, with some of those people who are just next to the president, who are and also who are in that swamp, as the president calls it, the bureaucracy around there in the capital, who are then kind of running the show. They are, or think they are, experts, and they make, they write all these proposals for things to be done, policies, this or that, even laws that they then put forward to the president, and could you please sign this? And he, in our story, is completely in a league above his natural real position. So he doesn't know how to handle it. It's just too much. It became much more coming down upon him than he ever expected, and he's aging, and so he's trying to handle all that so we can show it from his point of view, with his private life. And my goodness, it's so stressful. I don't know. I have to take these pills, and didn't expect this. I mean, last time it wasn't like this. This war things drives me crazy. Can't we just stop that and get our America great again? That kind of thing. So we kind of get a glimpse into that level. And then the reason I made this recording is I thought of a scene there that some very important decision. No, actually, the president should give a speech. A big speech there about some big thing, and maybe it is that the response to what China did when they refused to sell these minerals for production of weapons, I mean, then maybe it hits them. It comes down that morning, those news, that message coming there through the diplomatic sources. I mean, the serious here, not just media. and it lands there on the desk, not of the president, but of his advisor, some advisors. And they have a meeting there, going, my goodness, what am I going to do about this? Do you realize what this means? Calm down, the media. It's all that China is bad. The evil tyrants of that communist totalitarian dictatorship are attacking us. Something like that. Because one guy there is a connection to the journalist. They are so quick to pick up things. So just quick, get out and feed them. And the journalist stand out there, you know, with the cameras and the microphones, and he reads that or she reads that. Just hardly even knows what she is reading. And we show all this, how it happens from the inside. And then we have to come up with a quick response from the president here. Write something. And then one guy is right typing, another guy or girl walking back and forth in the room and dictating the speech of the president. He's very good at it. But they are all neocons. You know, they are connected and paid by, put there by, kept there by higher powers, invisible ones. Well, then they are visible in the form of money, in the form of certain people looking and being very, very influential that you nowadays are introduced, now and then are introduced to at cocktail parties and receptions and all kinds of fine dinners, which you are given admission to. Wow. That's something to talk about to the kids, right? And wife back home. Wait until she sees the pay bill. Oh, what do you call it? Payroll. Making some good salary here. So that's the situation. In any case, so they, the guy who authors this speech for the president, or girl, or those, that team there, it must be a team, I guess, they are simply doing that commissioned by higher up people who tell them what, you know, like editors, whatever, who tell editors in chief. Because they are maybe, well, whatever. What it should be authorized. It has to be correct. So they author it and they leave it upstairs and they get a stamp or refusal or go ahead. So it's all very, very, very nicely and effectively, not nicely, but effectively set up. And the author, I mean, who is extremely, or that speech, who is extremely skilled and knows exactly what he or she is supposed to do and makes it done, can accomplish it, writes those speeches in such a way that whoever that person who is the president is, whatever preferences that person has, whatever expectations the people of that person has on that person to say, so on. This speech has to be authored in such a way that it kind of doesn't conflict or confront any of that, doesn't push any red buttons on the way into the minds of the audience. So that's what it's about. We can show that also. And here it is, leave it upstairs, see what the big boys and girls say there, and it goes into that those hidden chamber somewhere, and it goes click, 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 and I mean, then okay, some corrections here and there, this approved, they clean, type it, I mean, if, enter those corrections, print it out, president comes there in the corridor. And I mean, I can see that scene, that president with all these people around him. I mean, a Trumpish character, what can I say? And he's like, oh, talking, and then some camera and this and that. Hey, you got the speech ready for me yet? I was worried. No, we're always punctual. Because they are so effective here, so they can deliver the speech. And that's how the president wants it. He doesn't have time to read these and sit down, and he doesn't understand. I don't understand much of such stuff anyway. You know it better than I do. I just read it and I trust you. So, anyway, I mean, if he's a little bit more cynical and sly about it, he gives a little hint, you know, anyway, I'm just a puppet here, joking, something like that. Or maybe he's completely aware that he's just a puppet, and maybe he's able to, that would be even more fun. There's another side to him, and he actually fools those people by pretending to be a crazy puppet kind of person who does what they say and not more. So he just reads that, doesn't matter anyway, it's just words, that's what he says. Or maybe we don't take it that far, but he's just taking it like that and then walk into that press conference room. Oh, the general is there and everything's set up, and the cameras and the lights and then standing there reading from that paper. And part of being a president then is that you are able to stand there reading from a paper and make it sound like it comes from you and from the very soul of the nation, which you then represent. Something, you know, it's psychology here, it's subconscious things, and that's why certain people are good at being leaders. And it's really acting. The same thing we take there with the Zelensky type. I'm just using these real world practical examples from my current environment here on Earth as ideas, inspiration for these characters. So this other Mr. Z, we can call him, he's even like that too. I mean, they're not so different. He's also an actor. In this case, they just picked someone, you know, who happened to be a comedian and a little bit of a rough, sometimes not exactly morally respectable comedian, also addicted to cocaine, as it seemed. But again, they just need an actor who is faithful to them. You can buy him. He always has been promised. I mean, it's all set up there. He has the ownership ready, clear, no cheating, nothing here. You own that big mansion over there in Florida or California, whatever you want. Yeah, I want that too, and I want a summer house and whatever, South Africa. So he's really getting into it. And then money, so much money for the rest of my life. And okay, then let's go for it. But then you are our man, okay? And you may have these Nazi guys there coming in the room, and they are just standing there while he is meeting with the, you know, corresponding to the Americans. And he doesn't know really who is, what's going on here. There are some businessmen standing there, some American politicians standing there. There are some Nazi groups standing over there. And here am I, and I'm an actor. And I'm supposed to act as the president of this country. I mean, what an absurd and what an interesting movie kind of scene this is. So they will have that position. So then he's also getting scripts to read from, and maybe from some of those Nazi guys, but there are others there coming in from other countries, from Europe, from, you know, Britain, the old great empire, where there is a nation in the city, the capital, a secret nation in there. You know, we can really get mystical here, if you want. The old European history of the lords and the secret societies and the old buildings there where the power people are sitting, having their clubs and meeting rooms. Such kind of people also start to appear there in his room, which is now in the government building of corresponding to Kiev. And then they say, you don't worry, you have these advisors here. And they present a few people. They know exactly. You know, they are your supporters, they are the friends of your people. You have all our support, and they're talking NATO and these beautiful, fantastic Western powers of Europe and America. You've got us all behind you. Don't worry. We will finish off that rogue nation over there in a few months. They are weak. It's a perfect moment. Trust us. Our experts have carefully examined the whole situation for years. It's a time to strike now. And so, wham. And that's the way it goes, but it doesn't go as planned. And then it starts to get really interesting and out of hand for the Western global northers. I mean, this is an interesting story, actually, isn't it?